Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Tom Thayer.
Oh, no!
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
That's him.
Don't you think you'd practice at home flipping it a couple times, make sure you get it right? It's like a referee in basketball, make sure you throw that jump ball up straight.
Tom Thayer, 1985 Super Bowl champion.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down.
Tom Thayer.
Touchdown, Bears!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is such a joy to talk to the great Tom Thayer. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Morning, Tom.
I'm doing well, man. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're, you know, trying to take a day of atonement and understand what we've done wrong all these many days and months of this year, but I got to ask you: did you see it coming, the quarterback change? Did it take you aback a little bit, just because they had kind of stuck with Mitch through dark times, certainly in the season opener, and it just seemed like it was the kind of breaking the glass, going to the emergency plan. It just seemed rather somehow quick, even though it wasn't.
Well, yeah, I think everything you said is right. It was quick, but it wasn't. But I don't think it was that one singular interception was the reason they made it. I think there's other plays that are specifically designed to go to a specific reason, a receiver, and then you practice them repeatedly, and then sometimes they're not run the way they're designed. And I think that led to some frustration. And then you have the fact that you did throw an interception. There was a play to Anthony Miller that he was wide open running down the field and the ball was overthrown by 2.5 to 3 yards. So, you know, there was elements, sideline passes that even though the receiver was running down the sideline, there was no opportunity for them to catch the ball because they were thrown out of bounds. So, you know, some of the inaccuracies, some of the decisions that were made that weren't according to plan. So I do think it was, you know, there was a small sample size given the amount of games they played, but I think they felt that they had talent on offense that they need growth. They needed to see more of the potential that we all talked about throughout training camp and we believe is out there.
And I think you're right, Tom. The overthrow to Anthony Miller from Mitch in the first half is the play that worked as a touchdown when Foles hit him in the fourth quarter. And that's just one example. But I think when you take a step back and you look at the tape again or just when you were watching yesterday, Tom, what is the biggest difference that you think Nick Foles adds to this offense that maybe was lacking with Mitch Trubisky?
I think he threatens coverage more. Because I think it was more defensive coordinators believe that they could dictate the tempo to Mitchell Trubisky, no matter if they were in shotgun behind center, personnel groupings, if they put pressure on him at the snap of the ball, if they tried to put a confusing front up there that he was thinking about defensive personnel positioning rather than thinking about the way the play is being run. I think that was a setback to him. So now, if you take Nick Foles And from our examples of watching him at training camp and watching him throughout his career, he's going to be a guy that will evaluate the line of scrimmage immediately. If he feels that he has a size or a speed winning matchup, his eyes will gravitate toward that immediately and then kind of focus back to 2-3 in the progression of the play. And when you are able to put in a running game that the opponents have to be concerned about, it does increase the threat of play action. And I don't think that we're going to see an abundance more of shotgun because it's Nick Foles. I think that would be, you know, deception suicide if you didn't keep the running game as important as it's been to the success of this system. And so I just think Nick, with his experiences and the defenses he's seen, and, you know, maybe some of the analytics that you can take from the past of his career, what does he like to do? He likes to go downfield with immediacy, and if he doesn't, somewhere underneath there will be an open opportunity.
Is there any change of quarterbacks now other than based on injury or illness?
I think going forward, it's Nick's job to have and to hold on to. And like you said, in the case there's a result of an injury. And I think that's the most challenging thing to Trubisky at this point, is he's got to stay with that work ethic, with the diligence that he was trying to learn the system as efficiently as he needed to be learned. Because I know that I was listening to the Big Z talking about the 9 games that he's played, and I think Doug Kledy told me a stat. He hasn't thrown over 200 passes since 2015, if my memory serves me right. So, you know, there's elements that it's the obligation of the players to stay prepared. But if you are going forward and you think that you can get the most out of this offense by having Nick Foles back there, then, you know, that's the course that you're going to have to go right now.
Tom, I think one of the big stories of the early season for the Bears has been Matt Nagy's commitment to the running game and how much of a difference that has made in the game plans and his play calling. Now that he has what we perceive to be a quarterback that fits his offense much better than maybe Mitch did, and there doesn't need to be maybe this adherence to the running game or maybe this kind of protecting your quarterback by doing less and getting more, how do you think he will respond, and how will the game plans reflect the fact that Nick Foles is a quarterback now, and maybe will they get away from the running game like they probably are more comfortable doing?
You'd be silly to get away from David Montgomery. I mean, he is such an asset. You know, you look at Montgomery yesterday, some of the passes that he caught, he faced the defender immediately, was able to shake him off and get extra yards. Some of the runs at the line of scrimmage where he had contact, but he was able to get yards after contact. You go to, Anthony Miller's last touchdown, and you look him step up in the face of a blitzer, hold him off, and give Nick enough time to get rid of the ball, even though he got hit. So, you know, to ignore David Montgomery, that would be, again, like I said, I think it would be offensive game planning suicide because he means so much. You know, if you take these plays and you take a quarterback under center and then you give a real deceptive play action fake and you look at where the defenders are at that instant and then where they are by the time the quarterback has his feet set ready to throw the ball, you're getting linebackers out of position. You're slowing down the interior rush of defensive linemen. And then you can, if you have a safety that's vulnerable to getting himself out of position, peeking into the backfield, you can capitalize on that. And I listen, it is the modern day NFL that they're going to throw the ball as much as they want to. But if you think that you're going to take 100 years of the NFL and just push it aside and say, okay, the ball's in the air for the rest of the time, you're going to hurt your team. You're going to hurt your offensive line, because that is one of the developments of this team, is the physical ability of this offensive line. And I think it takes a toll on these defenses they play. And if you come up against these defense and you lose Grady Jarrett during the game, you don't have Tack McKinley to start the game, you have linebacker and DB issues, you know, the most demoralizing thing you can do to an opponent's defense is just beat them relentlessly to the point where they're hanging their heads, they got their hands on their hips, and they just have no energy, and then the offense is in control. So to me, you know, I'll beat the drum all day for the effectiveness of the running game is as threatening as any downfield pass.
You know, what's interesting is that when you look at the rushing statistics, it really favored Atlanta because the Bears, I mean, really their numbers were skewed by the Trubisky 45-yard run, right, where he's running down the field. He can't believe how open he is, and there's defenders that are running down the field not even looking back. But at one point, Gurley had it just looked like he could run all over the Bears' defense at will. And then I think what happened is once the Bears' offense got going, I felt like Atlanta became very predictable in what they were going to do, and they were trying to eat clock, and they were running the ball, and they couldn't do it. And it was putting them in a bad position, and all of a sudden they're going three and out all the time. Did you get that sense, Tom, that Gurley was going to be very impactful in that game when they eventually got to him?
You know, that was the most disappointing element of the whole game to me, was that long run by Hill for the touchdown and then the touchdown run by Gurley and some of the other runs that he had. Because in preparation for this game and watching some tape, Gurley is not the same Gurley that he was 2 years ago. I think he went from over 4 yards a carry to 3.8 yards a carry to 3.3 yards a carry this year. And if you bring the physical to Gurley, sometimes he's the guy that will be aware of it, and he may duck into a hole instead of lowering his shoulders and trying to run over a defender. But I do agree with you. It was one of the more disappointing, parts of the game, was just the fact that, you know, can you make a Matthew Stafford or Ryan, you know, a Phillip Rivers coming in, a Brady, can you make them one-dimensional by taking away their running game and then unleashing the pass rush attack that they have the ability to have? And so I think when you look at this team going forward, there is some improvement that they have. There's improvement that they have to make defensively, from coverage to line of scrimmage to responsibility. But that's the same thing with this offense. Now that they did make this change, Nick Foles, they have to become the threat that they have the capabilities of being. Can you get Darnell Mooney more involved downfield? Can you get Anthony Miller more involved in kind of a bounce back game after the game he had last week? Keep A-Rod involved. The guy that had the biggest camp with Nick Foles was Javon Wims. And I always thought, wow, if Nick ever gets a chance to play regularly, I think the 6'4 frame and the speed of Javon Wims will be more on display, because I saw it in training camp every day. So there's certain elements that'll change, but it's going to be about stopping the run on defense and being able to use the running game, even though they don't have Tariq anymore, but you still have Ryan Nall waiting in the wings. You have Artavius Pierce on the practice squad, and you got Cordero and David Montgomery. So I don't think any game planning has to change, but I do think they'll have the ability to be more aggressive downfield.
Tom, you study tape, you follow logic, you believe in conventional wisdom, but how do you explain the effect that changing quarterbacks has on almost every aspect of the team? And you saw it again yesterday. It just seemed like we were watching a team that would respond in on defense and special team. Every aspect of that game seemed to change when Nick Foles took over for the Bears at quarterback.
Well, you know, David, even before they made the change to Nick Foles, we had snippets of whatever word you want to talk, you know, is it resiliency? Is it confidence? Is it, you know, just a good, strong team that they've been able to hold into the end, even though it was Detroit and the Giants at the beginning? But, you know, I think it's like the adage, like when we are playing with McMahon, or if McMahon got hurt and they brought in Steve Fuller, and everybody says, why don't you play as well with Steve Fuller as you do with McMahon? McMahon's just a smarter downfield quarterback and more threatening to a lot of teams than Steve Fuller was. So I just think it's that, you know, what can you take advantage of? And now it's, you know, studying the deficiencies of your opponent and how to attack that person or that segment repeatedly. And that'll be the same going forward, to try to figure out next week's opponent, where are their vulnerabilities, and now how can this offense? Is it the steady running game and let David Montgomery be the MVP at the end of the game? Or are we going to have to ramp it up and go to more shotgun and have Nick throw downfield? So there's just investigated elements each week that you have to try to take advantage of.
Tom, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
Hey, Mully, how do you feel about the Sox going to Oakland?
Yeah. I was kind of hoping they'd stay at home, Tom.
I know. I'm just teasing you. I'm a loyal listener, so I have to give you a hard time.
That's funny.
God, thanks, Tom. Sorry. See you, buddy.
See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.